Colossians, the third chapter, verse 15. The Holy Spirit offers us a wonderful promise in the form of a commandment, where he says, let the peace of Christ, or the peace of God, rule in your heart. The term rule there is a very important word, and the concept behind it is very important. So I wanted to start the lesson this evening with an illustration. And it centers on the conflicts that we have in sports, because this word that we're going to be talking about is designed to help us deal with the conflicts in our heart. There are situations that arise where we get angry, situations that arise where we get afraid, where we get vexed, where we feel low, where we feel depressed and unhappy, and the peace of God can arbitrate and rule and help us in that. But until we really understand the nature of the term, we don't even really know what we're looking for. So I wanted to spend just a few moments this evening and just basically talk about what we all know, and that is when we're watching a game, especially football or basketball, tensions rise. There's conflicts. There's differences of opinion. I thought that I got the basket. The other guy says you didn't. Your foot was out, or this or that or whatever. And you've got somebody there who can stop the conflict between players or fans or teams and center it back on the rule and what happened. And so they can stand between two players. And it's funny sometimes to watch this little guy in a bright striped suit standing between these two huge players, and they respect him. And they stop what they're doing, or they get thrown out of the game. And so God wants us to understand that's the term that he uses. And so the Greek word for rule comes from the word empire, umpire, or director, or arbiter in the Olympic Games. The Greek Games, they had the same thing in them. People want to win. And they want to win, and they want to win so badly that they often get angry or frustrated when something doesn't occur. And then these things start building up in our minds and then in our conduct. Be nice if we had such people on the roads before road rage would flash out. And so, but it's only used this one time in the New Testament, let the peace of God rule, which is literally be the umpire. The peace of God can be your umpire. When you're afraid, the peace of God can resolve that. When we feel guilty or we feel remorse, the peace of God can resolve that. When we are angry or bitter, the peace of God can resolve that. But we need to know how to put it in there before things spiral out of control. And so the Holy Spirit wanted us to place the peace of God in our heart as an arbiter or a referee or an official that's in the heart, and we recognize that it's there and we allow it to do its work. So before I go any further, have we done that yet? Do we ever find ourselves in a situation like Paul talked about, where there's fightings and fears outside and there's tremors and unhappiness on the inside, and then just allow the peace of God to come in and dissipate it all? Why is the "and" there? And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, let's read the context. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ also forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and, that should be 15 instead of 13, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. So it's in the context of what we might call emotions that soothe and calm and bring peace with individuals, with God, with ourselves, with our family members. So we put on tender mercies. We put on kindness and humility. And so the umpire for the emotions is set forth here. So we think about it. I have anger, you have anger. Sometimes we get angry with people. If we don't stop it, the brightest links of life can be broken. If we allow the peace of God to rule, that will never come out. We will control it, like God told Cain. Rule over it. You can rule over it. But it takes certain things to be able to do that. So we have anger, we have fear, we have dread, we have remorse and guilt and regret. We have godly sorrow and bitterness that leads to anxiety, despondency, depression, and hopelessness. Now, I hope all of us that are looking at this can say, well, I never had those things. I've never felt any of those things. But the sad reality is that not only are we Christians, but we still live in a body of flesh, and we still struggle with these things. We still struggle with them. Not always can we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, looking at the fiery furnace and just saying, our God will deliver us. We're not even concerned. Doesn't appear there was any fear, any dread, any concern at all. They allowed the peace of God to rule, and they were able to rise above that situation. And so the peace of God stands between and changes the direction. You see these two football players getting ready. They rip their helmets off and they get ready to start fighting, and this little referee stands between them and they just stop. Why do they stop? Because they understand we'll get thrown out of the game. We might lose the game. We might damage our team. They stop. That's what an arbitrator, that's what an umpire can do. That same thing can happen in the heart. That's exactly what God was telling Cain to do. Cain, rule over this, because if you don't, and we all know what happened, it led to the murder of his brother Abel. And so peace has the power to remove, control, subdue, set aside, comprehend, and realize, I know where this is going, I've been here before, I know what God wants me to do, and now I'm going to allow the peace of God to rule. So peace has the power to remove and replace them with peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts. Well, how does that happen? Well, that's what we need to understand. Because once we understand that it can be done, and that we have the ability, and we're commanded, this is actually a command, then we have the responsibility to try to work it out. So peace has the power to do this, but we have to make it. He says, let or make the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's our control. We have to make the decision. God has the opportunity. God has the power. God has the information in the scriptures. But we have to, quote, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so when peace is our umpire, we can remove it. And that's what this sermon is all about. So first, we have to trust that God can fix what we can't control. That's where most fear comes from. I don't know about you. I'm looking at our nation right now. I'm seeing the anarchy that's rising. I'm seeing the rancor. And I have some fear. I have some concern. But I know something. God's in control. So I just let it go. I know that when I leave my home, there's somebody out there that has a gun that might want to shoot, or something might happen, but I don't worry about that. I don't think about that because of this verse. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I understand something. God sees me as one of his children. God sees you as one of his children. God is in control. And regardless of what happens, God will make it work to the good. And if we can believe that, then that will soothe and calm and remove the dread, the fear, the concern, the anxiety, the sense of hopelessness or fearfulness or lack of control that we all have. But God has the control. And second, we have to trust that it's God's intent to protect and resolve these things for us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, there's a real important fundamental truth in these two verses. The first verse, God has the ability to do it. The second verse has the desire to do it. If God would send his own son, the Word who was with God and was God, if God would prepare a body for him and send him into this world to be crucified, spat upon, beaten, and put to death so that he could save us, then Paul's question is, what else would he withhold? If God is willing to spend the most important thing, are these other little things going to be a problem? Absolutely not. So first of all, we know God can do it. God has the power to make all things work out to good for those who love God. And he already has the desire. If God wants to get us into heaven, he will. And I know he wants to get us into heaven because he sent his son to die for us. And there's not a single person that he wouldn't want to be with him in heaven after he's already paid the price. So when I get concerned, when I start feeling fear or dread or anxiety, I just set it aside. God's in control. God's in control. He wants to help me, and he will help me. And that's what brings perfect peace. So we go to Isaiah chapter 26. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, this, how would I put it? If you pray with a godly sorrow and contrition and confession of sins, God will wash away all your sins. Now, was it the confession? Was it the godly sorrow? Was it the repentance? Or was it the power of God that had access to the blood of Christ that brought about the forgiveness of sins? And you'd have to say, well, all of it. But it's the godly sorrow, repentance, and confession that unlocks the power of God. It is not the godly sorrow, confession, and repentance that brings about forgiveness. It is the power of God and the blood of Christ. But it is the power of God and the blood of Christ that can only be accessed by that. And that's what this verse is saying. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, this is not one of those situations like somebody says, well, you know, the most important part of prayer is that it makes you feel good after you pray. No, that's not the most part at all. That's not the most important part at all. He isn't saying here, you will keep him in perfect peace because he has the control. The individual has the control because he trusts you. That's just the opposite. It's the trust that brings the perfect peace. It's like Paul says in Philippians 4. We'll get to that a little bit later. But in Philippians chapter 4, he says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Can you explain it? I can't explain it. Well, it's just the natural result of you putting your faith in God and then you feel good about yourself. No, that Paul says it's beyond understanding. The peace of God which passes understanding. So when I repent and confess and show godly sorrow, I unlock the power of God unto salvation. And when I put my trust in God, I unlock the power of this ability. God can do it, but I get in the way. God can do it, but you get in the way. And so what does he say here? You will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. It's not saying I can have perfect peace if I just trust in the Lord. No, it says you will keep him in perfect peace. The peace of God can rule if what? Well, first, we trust God to fix what we can't control. Second, we trust God's intent to protect and resolve every issue that we have to deal with. And finally, because our heart is stayed on him, and we trust him, we have the perfect peace. Now, I was going to go in a little different direction in the lesson, but I decided I will preach on this, maybe not next week, but pretty soon. Jesus told his apostles, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And what happens 3 hours later? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying in agony and anguish, saying, let this cup pass from me. That's where the battle was. The strong cries, the vehement cries, the anguish and the tears, the sweat is blood. Jesus was not at peace. But then he said, not my will, but your will be done. And the perfect peace of God, we don't see it anymore. From that point on, from the moment he's arrested until the moment he's dead, we see him in perfect peace. He's put himself completely in the hands of God. And then he says, my peace I leave with you. I bequeath it to you. It is the legacy. I will give you my peace. Well, that's what we need to understand. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro. We shouldn't be agonizing over this emotion and this emotion. We should be able to let the peace of God arbitrate and rule. How? He will keep us in perfect peace. First, because our mind is stayed on Him. In other words, every time something arises, I see God. God's behind everything. And He'll get me through. Like I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just said to Nebuchadnezzar, we're not afraid, Nebuchadnezzar. Our God is able to deliver us. And He will deliver us. And they didn't care whether that meant they were going to die in that fiery furnace, because they understood, just like Jesus did, this very day you'll be with me in paradise. So you couldn't get the Lord so worked up and so controlled by His emotions that He was no longer in control of the outcome like Cain was. Just the opposite. Jesus trusted in the Lord with all his heart. He knew that all things work together for good to those who love God. He knew that God was for him. And he knew the perfect peace that he has left for us. So learning how to do this is probably the most difficult thing, is letting go. I think that's the first step. We have to learn how to let go. We have to learn, I'm not in control. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. It doesn't matter. God does. God's in control. And I trust God that however this works out, it's going to work out for my good. Because God knows how to do that. And God will not allow me to be put in a position where I'm tempted above what I'm able to bear, so I can completely have perfect peace. I like this verse in Psalms 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty. I think that's the biggest problem for many of us. We think we're in control. We think that we can do this. We think that we are the ones who can get ourselves out of this. You'll never have the perfect peace of God unless you have your heart stayed on Him. In other words, He's the one who's going to get me out of this. So my heart's not haughty. My eyes aren't lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. I just leave it to God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. Be not anxious for the morrow. The morrow will be anxious for itself. God will take care of that. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Now, how did he do that? The same way that Paul described in Hebrews, the same way that Isaiah described when he said, you will keep him in perfect peace, because he trusts you. He knows that you have absolute control. And you're going to make things work out. So peace is learning how to do that. Look at this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Perfect peace. Why? Because you're with me. And your rod and your staff. Now, his rod and staff are only his rod and staff because he's our shepherd, and so he's using the terms of a shepherd. But what he's really talking about here is his absolute omnipotence. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He is with us. And there's nothing that we can face that he doesn't know about, and that he can't take control of, and if I'll just get out of the way, if I'll just stop thinking, I've got to fix this, I've got to control this, I've got to protect myself. The watchman watches in vain unless the Lord is with that house. Unless the Lord is going to be protecting, nothing else is going to matter. So he says in verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul. I don't know of a better way to say, let the peace of God umpire, arbitrate, and control, take the rule in your heart. Calm and quiet your soul. Bring the peace, like a weaned child with his mother. Child's not going to be afraid. This weaned child, this little 1 or 2 year old, he doesn't know anything except mom can take care of it all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what Jesus did. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And not just his death. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have no idea what the valley of the shadow of death for Jesus was. He did. But once he gave it into the hands of God, it wasn't a problem anymore. Your rod and your staff, they trumple. So when we trust God, we have peace. Now that sounds like a pretty simplistic way of looking at it, but it's the foundation. It's where we have to start. Because if we can't trust in the Lord with all our heart, and I know we usually use this verse to talk about how we should trust in the Scriptures, how we should always use the Scriptures, but as in this context, you can see it fits exactly the same way. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you don't lean on your own understanding, I don't have to figure out what's going on in the world right now. God already knows. I don't have to worry about it. I can just leave that alone. That's in his hands. I can pray for kings and all who are in high place, that we might have a quiet life of tranquility. After that, I don't have any more to do with it. So what do? I let it go. God will take care of this. I don't have to worry about it. I'm like that weaned child in my mother's arms. I don't have to worry about anything. She's going to take care of everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I think the biggest problem we face, why we can't control our anger, why we can't control our unhappiness and our disappointments and our griefs and our sorrows, is because we're trying to do it our way, we're trying to figure it out on ourselves. But if you'll fear the Lord, trust the Lord, look at verse Isaiah 26 again, you will keep him in perfect peace because he trusts in you with all his heart and he doesn't lean on his own understanding. Because he's not wise in his own eyes, but he fears the Lord, and it will bring this health and this strength. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's just another way of saying all things work together for good to those who love God. And I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor life nor death nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Perfect peace. I don't have to worry about anything that's outside of me. I only have to be concerned about one thing, that I keep my life right with God. And once I've done that, and that's not hard to do. So when we're overwhelmed, we have to let go. Casting all your anxiety on him. Now, if you know how to do that, then the peace of God can rule, can be the umpire. When I feel fear, I cast it on the Lord. When I feel dread, when I feel unhappy, when I feel concerned, when I feel anger, whatever the emotions are, we simply have to enthrone peace as the umpire. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. That is exactly what we have to understand. When the 12 spies came out of the promised land, 10 of them said, we're just overwhelmed with anxiety. There's nothing we can do. We're just grasshoppers. There's nothing we can do. We're afraid. We're terrified. Why don't we go back to Egypt? And two of them said, boldly, the Lord is our helper. What do we have to fear? What can they do to us? God has already showed us with the 10 plagues, with the opening of the Red Sea, we don't have anything to be afraid of. Well, the peace of God was ruling in Joshua and Caleb and Moses, but it wasn't ruling in the hearts of those 10 spies and the entire nation of Israel. They didn't believe any of this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's how Joshua and Caleb dealt with this. And it's how we can deal with it. It's how Jesus dealt with it in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's how Paul dealt with it when they said, we're going to kill you. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've delivered against that day. So I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of life. I don't see any fear in Paul. I don't see any fear in Jesus. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. There's nothing, neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come. But we have to make it. We have to figure out how to tailor that to our particular set of circumstances. Because each one of us is a complicated combination of heredity and environment, of history and things that we have allowed to build up in our minds, and it's all in there. And God says, I can take it apart for you and help you to take care of it, but you have to do something. You have to be the one to do this. So we have to have this complete trust. God's in control. He already knew this was going to happen. He already knew I was going to go through this. He's already figured out how to get me through this. So when the world gets like this, God's answer is, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That's what he told Habakkuk. Habakkuk is complaining to God, Lord, the country I live in is wicked, and righteousness is never going forth, and there's violence everywhere, and there's corruption everywhere. Sound familiar? And he's praying about it. God says, don't worry, Habakkuk, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans, the Babylonians in here, and they're going to destroy the temple. And they're going to kill all the people, and they're going to take them captive, and all that you're worried about is going to be fixed. And Habakkuk says, wait a minute, that's not the solution I was looking for. And then God says this, it's just going to be a little while, and Babylon is going to come, and he's not going to tarry. It's going to happen. But the just, or the righteous, shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then the Hebrew writer, I didn't write this down, but if you keep reading in verse 39, we are not of those who shrink back, but we are those who have faith to the saving of the soul. Then he moves right into Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So when the world gets unsettled, and it is right now, I don't know what God has in mind, but I know one thing, he's going to solve this problem. He's always been able to solve it. He's going to fix it. And one of these days, we're going to be with him in heaven, and we're going to look back on all this, and we're going to realize God was in control, and I never had to worry about anything. He was going to take care of it. Well, why wait till then? Let's do it now. That's what letting the peace of God rule in our hearts will do. I already know we are more than conquerors. We're going to win. God has already proved that. He will never allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. He will never put us into a situation we can't handle. And so, right out of Habakkuk, we learn that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. The just will live by faith. So, what am I saying? I'm saying the same thing over and over. Well, let's rephrase that. God is saying the same thing over and over and over again. The peace of God can arbitrate. It can control. It can remove anxiety. It can remove depression. It can remove fear. It can remove anger. It can remove bitterness. It can remove guilt. But we have to do it. We have to start, roll up our sleeves, and get busy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Put yourself in his hands. Like a weaned child with his mother, I don't worry about these great things. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't have to be afraid. So we come back now to what Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Now that's in John chapter 14. In John chapter 18, the crucifixion process has begun. A few hours earlier, he says that. You're thinking, wait a minute. What happened to him in the garden? Well, the battle raged. He was human. He was tempted at all points like as we. He was bitterly crying. He was looking to God to deliver him from death. But though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he left his peace to us. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The apostles had grown a lot when in Acts chapter 4 it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. They rejoiced. The peace of God was ruling now. And so the complete picture, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. You will cast all your anxieties on him. He will keep you in perfect peace. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we haven't found the rest, it's because the peace of God is not yet ruling in our hearts. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's our relationship with our Lord that brings the peace. Now, I don't know, as I said, some of us can't do it. We just haven't learned how to do it. We're carrying this all ourselves. But the Lord says, if you'll take my yoke, you and I will pull together. That's what a yoke is. A yoke is not me putting my head into Jesus' yoke so that it gets more and more difficult. It's just the opposite. It's me putting my head into the yoke of Jesus so that he can do the heavy lifting, and all I have to do is walk with him. He's done it all. Come to me, all you who are carrying it yourself. Come to you who are laboring on your own. Come to you who feel heavy laden, and I'll give you the peace of God. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You will keep him in perfect peace. Take my yoke, and I'll do the heavy lifting. You don't have to do this anymore, and you will find rest for your souls. So our relationship with Jesus, because unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We have a song in our songbook, Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this anxious heart be still. Now we sing it. Because he is the Prince of Peace, and he has the power to bring peace. And if we don't have peace, it's not because the power of God is not out there, it's because we haven't done what is necessary. It's just like we said earlier, if you don't repent, confess, and feel godly sorrow, you can't unlock the forgiveness which brings the seasons of refreshing and the peace and the happiness that comes from being forgiven. The same thing is true here. If we can't learn how to put our hearts on him, to trust him, to recognize his power, we're going to go through life in a yoke where we're trying to do all the pulling, and that isn't going to work. So peace becomes the umpire. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Now, he's already done that because we're Christians. To guide our feet into the way of peace. It's there. We just have to learn what we need to do. Conflicts with Jesus in the garden, peace won. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, you don't find that when Jesus is in the garden, crying and praying and sweating his blood and anxiously saying, Father, please let this cup pass from me. But then the peace of God won. And he left it all in God's hands. And the joy that was set before him led him to what? Endure the cross, despise the shame. So that was the answer to the prayer. The prayer in the garden was, not my will, but your will. And as soon as he let that take over, the joy that was set before him allowed him to endure the cross and despise the shame. That's why when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. That's why all these powerful emotions that you and I might have felt when people are spitting on us, when people are hitting us, when people are mocking and scoffing and putting a crown of thorn on our heads and pretending to worship us when they're totally derisive, they just have nothing but contempt and derision. And yet, none of that bothered him. He left it to God. God will take care of it. God will give each one of you people exactly what you deserve. I don't have to do anything. I just have to sit here and take this. That's all I have to do. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. I mean, what else could he say? The Lord of peace himself will give you peace. Well, I don't know if he has the power to do that. I don't know if he has the power to give me peace. Come on. Of course he does. The Lord of peace can give you peace always in every way. If we don't have it, it's because we just haven't figured out how to unlock it yet. It's there, just like if we don't have forgiveness, it's because we haven't figured out. The power is outside of ourselves. We just have to figure out how to unlock it. So there's no doubt that Jesus intended, has the power, and expects his disciples to have peace. So we kind of sum all of this up. Peace is the umpire. Look at how many times he says it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. These things I have spoken that you may have peace. His name will be called Prince of Peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, you will find rest. The kingdom of God is peace. The Lord of peace can give you peace always in every way. Do we believe it yet? Can we do it? The command is, let the peace of God be the umpire. When you feel these emotions, run to the peace of God. When you feel anger, run to the peace of God. When you feel despondency or guilt or grief or sorrow, run to the peace of God. When we feel that the world is turned upside down, we run to the peace of God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. With good courage, we can say, the Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Cast your anxieties on him. I mean, he gives us a step-by-step-by-step way to go about this. And so, once again, peace is the umpire. It's a state of mind, and it's a state of action. The state of mind is, God's in control. I don't have to worry about how this is going to come out. If I stay faithful to him, it's going to work together for good. If I continue to love him, it's going to work together for good. Now, I don't like it. I don't like that I have to go through this. Jesus didn't like it. But once he let go and said, not my will, but your will, then the joy that was set before him and the peace ruled his heart, and he never had a problem. A state of action. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, this is how the peace of God arbitrates. I ask him, Father, please help me, whatever it is. Then I trust him. My heart is stayed on him, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, once again, we have a very clear indication here that this is not just a natural cause and effect. If you just trust in God, then all your anxieties will go away. That's not what it says. If that were the case, he wouldn't say, it surpasses understanding. Surpassing understanding means there's something here above and beyond anything that I can explain or you can explain. It isn't cause and effect here. Just like it isn't cause and effect when I say, Father, forgive me, and the power of the blood of Christ actually brings forgiveness. It isn't because I asked. It's because I asked and God answered. It isn't because I prayed. It's because I prayed and God did something. What did he do? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, how can you explain it? Well, I can't explain it. Well, why can't you explain it? Because it surpasses all understanding. That's what God said. We can't just make this, well, if you pray, then you're going to have a peace that other people don't have just because you prayed. That's a pretty empty way of looking at the peace of God. Guarding your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Compare the thought. Let the peace of God rule or umpire. Verse 7, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds. So now it's a soldier. Now it's guarding. Over there, it's an arbitrator. It's an umpire. But it's outside of us. It comes because God is almighty. It comes because the power of God is exceedingly abundantly above all. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't afraid. And look how God answered them. They fell into the fiery furnace. Did they fall into the fiery furnace and because they prayed, they came out okay? No, they came out okay. Because God acted. And it's our confidence that God will act that brings the peace, the perfect peace. If we don't have perfect peace, it's because of our mindset, our state of mind. We're just not focused. Our mind is not stayed on him. We don't trust him. You say, oh, I trust him completely. Well, not quite completely, because if you trusted him completely, you'd have perfect peace. State of action. When I get into that situation, I start praying. And I start making requests. And once the requests are made, like Jesus in the garden, now the peace of God comes. And we don't have to consider ourselves. We don't have to worry about it anymore. So it's all perspective. We don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, if you can boil that down into the peace of God, then you can understand his next statement, which is, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, what do you mean the things that are not seen? What is it that's not seen? The power of God? The ability of God to take care of these things? The ability of God to get me safely through? The things which are seen are temporary. Those are the things that are causing us all the problems. The things which are not seen are eternal. Those are the things that bring the peace of God. And so this is just kind of a light touching. I mean, I've thrown out the verses, but you're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I've been working on this for years, and I can tell you that it works. I can tell you that if you will do these things, You're just kind of above all of these things because you understand. You know, I get so worked up and then I say to him, okay, God's in control. All right, I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's not going to take emotional energy anymore. I've got more important things to deal with. So the peace of God guards, and the peace of God umpires, and the peace of God removes, and I'm like this weaned child who is completely comforted. That's the goal. And that's what can be done. But we have to do the proper steps. If we want to be saved, we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If we want to continue to be saved, we have to feel godly sorrow that results to repentance and brings about confession. If we want the peace of God to rule in our hearts, then we have to have that state of mind where our heart is completely stayed on him and trusting him, and we're bringing our concerns to him, knowing that he will take care of it. Life is a lot better when we're not tossed to and fro and carried about by every concern and fear and the upsurging of anxiety and concern over things that are happening. And you just have to get this buffer. God's in control of this. He'll take care of it. I just have one thing, one important thing. So as we open up our songbooks to number 343, let him have his way with thee. Now, this particular song is dealing with obedience to the gospel, but this song is perfect for everything we've just said, because if we let him have his way with us, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts. And we'll have that perfect peace, which passes all understanding. So we sing number 343, if there's anyone in the audience who realizes a need to get back with right with God. Maybe your fear is justified. Maybe our concern and lack of peace is because we haven't done what God wants us to do. And that's what those emotions are for, to bring about repentance. And if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, I don't know that there's anybody here who hasn't, but if you haven't, this is the opportunity to take advantage of that so that the peace of God will guard our hearts. Let's all stand and sing number 343, and if anyone has a need, let us know.